When the Supreme Personality of Godhead plants his own neutral energy, he becomes agitated. At that time, the Lord injects the original salmon of the living entity. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead plants his own neutral energy, he becomes agitated. At that time, the Lord injects the original semen of the living entity. In the Bhagavad Gita 7:10, Krishna says, Vidamamsavakutanam, I am the original seed of all existences. This is also confirmed in another verse in the Bhagavad Gita 14:4. Sarva yonishi kundeya morteya samudantiya asad brahma mahandamir amdida kudapida pida. It should be understood that all species of life, both son of Kandi, are made possible by birth and this material nature, and that I am the seed-giving father. Further explanation, when they refer to Brahma Samhita, chapter 5, verses 10 to 13. Brahma Samhita also states 5:51. All material elements, as well as the spiritual sparks, individual soul, are emanating from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also confirmed by the Vedanta Sutra 1.1. Venma Vyasa Yatha. Vyasa is the seed from whom everything emanates. He is the Supreme Truth. Satyam Param Dhimahi Bhagavatam 1.1. The absolute truth is Krishna. Om no bhagavate vasudevaya. Dhanu jasi tamvaya idhar vasate shvabhigyaswara. The absolute truth is a person who is directly and indirectly cognizant of the entire cosmic manifestation. The absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, educated Lord Brahma from afar. Bhagavatam 1.1. Therefore, the Absolute Truth cannot be double matter. The Absolute Truth must be the Supreme Person Himself. Simply by His glance, material nature is impregnated with all living entities. According to their karma and through their activity, they emerge in different bodies. That is the explanation given by the Bhagavad Gita. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood, youth, to old age, the soul simply passes into another body of death. The self-alive soul is not bewildered by such a change. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead glances over into our energy, she becomes agitated. At that time, the Lord injects the original semen of the living entity. Mom, Vishnu, Raya, Krishna, Vishnu, 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 philosophy of Krishna consciousness is made one sense quite simple that Krishna is God and we're not. That's why it's so difficult to understand. Because we all want to become God and we don't want Krishna to be God. So it goes exactly the opposite of what we're hoping for, or expecting. In any case, it is a fact that we're not God. whether Krishna is God or not, that remains to be seen. But here it explains that if you have a father, if you have a mother and a child, you have to have a father. We don't have an instance so far where you have a child and a mother, there's no father. So the material nature is the mother, or where are the children? So the question, who's the father? One time I was in probably in Buffalo in 1969. And there was one Indian gentleman who had invited Guru Nuga to become president at that time, to come to Buffalo and open the center. While Prabhupada was visiting this Indian gentleman, his name was Dr. Lal, he came to see Prabhupada. And Prabhupada explained to him that the Vedas are like our mother. And they tell us that Krishna is our father. Because if you want to find out who your father is, you have to ask your mother. So the Vedas say that Krishna is our father. Unfortunately, Dr. Lal was a impersonalist. And he couldn't understand what Prabhupada was talking about. So what did Prabhupada do? He said, the Vedas are like our mother. And Krishna is like our father is, and if you want to know who your father is, you have to ask it to be your mother. So to find out who our original father is, you ask the Vedas, and they tell us that Krishna is our father. But still, Dr. Lal might understand what Prabhupada was talking about. So what did Prabhupada do? Did he analyze Dr. Lal and some other explanation? No, he said, the Vedas are like our mother. And if you want to know who your father is, you have to ask your mother. And the Vedas say that Krishna is the father. Still, Mr. Lal said, I can't understand what you're talking about. So then Prabhupada, he said, he rang his bell and said, can you bring some shot? So generally, teaching that, you tell people 1 + 1 in the beginning student is equal to 2. And if he keeps on saying 3, what do? You don't teach them advanced calculus. You go back and say, no, 1 + 1 is equal to 2. No, it's 3. No, 1 + 1 is equal to 2. Just like there is one devotee, slightly different story. But he had just gotten married. And he asked Prabhupada in one morning walk, he said, what is the intimate relationship between a newly married husband and his wife? I don't know what you're expecting. Or Prabhupada said that the husband goes, the wife cooks very nice prasadam. And the husband goes out into the street and shouts 3 times, if anyone is hungry, let them come and eat. If anyone is hungry, let them come and eat. If anyone is hungry, let them come and eat. So, we checked the movie, looked a little bewildered. Probably didn't understand what he was talking about. So he said, Prabhupada. He said, maybe you didn't understand. I just got married, and what is the intimate relationship that a husband has with his newly married wife? The Prabhupada said, the wife cooks a very nice meal. The husband goes out into the street, and 3 times in a loud voice cries out, if anyone is hungry, let them come and eat. If anyone is hungry, let them come and eat. So Kuru Chakra Guru, but even more people. So like at the end of the walk, he came up with Prabhupada and again said, Prabhupada, maybe you didn't understand what I was talking about. I just got married and I just have a new wife, and I'm just wondering what is the intimate relationship that we should have. So Prabhupada said, the wife cooks a very nice meal. And the husband goes out in the street, and in a very loud voice shouts out, If anyone is hungry, let him come and eat. If anyone is hungry, let them come and eat. If anyone is hungry, let them come and eat. Fortunately, this time, there's something that will probably stop me. So in one sense, our philosophy is quite straightforward and simple. Simple with simple problems and a little complicated to be crooked. So similarly, although we can cite debated friends in Europe, to prove the point the Krishna's person prophesying the Bhagavad Gita would happen to be spoken by Krishna, which in itself more or less indicates that he must be a person. Generally speaking, unless he takes some telephone application, chairs in the walls of speaking, usually people speaking, most of them. But similarly, the fact that Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita is a good indication that he was a person, and there he claims to be the father. Sarva Yoni Shikundiya Orgya Sambhavandiya Dasa Brahma Mahayoni Ahamvita Pradhanita. And of course, we don't accept Krishna. Many people in the least of the Vedic culture, they accept Brahma, and he's saying, the earth, water, fire, and air, all the ingredients of material energy, they've been given by Govinda. Of course, you may not believe in Brahma, you may not believe in Arjuna, you may not believe in anything except what the newspaper tells us. But we have to believe in something. So, if we believe what the newspaper tells us, then all of us came from apes. Of course, how much experience do we have of apes giving birth to human beings? At least my parents, I know, were apes. I said maybe Darwin's parents were apes. But generally speaking, when we look at our family tree and we trace it back, generally speaking, everyone that we know of in our family tree was a person, a human being. We don't find apes and black sheep and mice and rocks in our family tree. That our father was a person, our grandfather was a person, our great-great-grandfather was a person. Therefore, the original father, for all the fathers come from, must have also been a person, right? Our father and our grandfather was, and we are. Otherwise, what did our original father do that was wrong, that he's no longer a person? He was originally a person, but he committed some offense and that was no longer a person. That doesn't make any sense. That the original father must have been a person, but he's the supreme father from which all the children come from. Although it's a very simple idea, unfortunately, after going through educational systems for so many years, higher education, postgraduate education, more one becomes educated, less likely one is able to understand his philosophy. But even we can understand that our father is a person, our grandfather was a person, and therefore the original father must also be a person. Because after all, there must be an original father, there's so many children. After we say there's no original father, then again, where all the children come from? And even when we say, well, they came from the earth, well, that's alright, because after all, we have the earth, we have so many children coming from the earth. It's like we have children, we have a father and a mother, and then they have children, they have byproducts. But there's always a father. But even one can understand that, the Christian says, Keno smini tadehe, kamaram yopanam jarajita vahantarapa dhir, dhiryas tatvin uyati. That our bodies are changing, but the seed that Krishna planted within the internal energy of the soul They're not changed. Therefore, they're different from their original nature, their mother. They're products of the spiritual father. That material nature can give birth to a soul, consciousness, trust from the future, however pleasant, that idle talks regarding the future manifestation of spirit for matter to someone's speculation. They say that by some genetic engineering, they're able to produce some kind of life or matter in the future. But they never be able to do it, because if they're able to do it, then at least, if you can't produce a human being, because they produce one human being. Yes, in the movies. That was the only time they ever produce a human being that mattered. It was in the movies, Dr. Frankenstein. But that doesn't really count. That's the closest they ever gotten. A living entity out of that. So if they can't produce any human being, at least let them produce one blade of grass. There's so many blades of grass already, there's not so much credit we can give them for producing another blade of grass. Although they may say we're spending billions of dollars trying to produce a greater blade of grass. But we can save them so much money, we can mow our lawn and give them thousands of blades of grass for just an half of us. But they want to imitate God, because otherwise there's no fun in the world unless we imitate God. Therefore, since we can't produce anything out of matter, we simply try harder and harder, although it's a waste of time. A dog is barking in the street, people are throwing rocks at it, trying to keep it quiet. It's disturbing everyone. Well, one man goes to the circus, he's able to bark like a dog. And therefore, people are paying a lot of money to go and hear him bark. A dog is throwing rocks at, and then paying money to hear a man bark like a dog. So this is foolishness. God has already created so many different living entities, and so many different species of life, and to imitate God, we're wasting so much time. Because the only way that people imitate God nowadays, as Rinpoche Sarva Maharaj Chaham, or Kalas Chaham, bringing on Chambagendra on buying pages of Machina, that the Bhagavad Gita Krishna is Kala Kala Dhos, it's me. The time I am, and I take everything away. Kula Shaya Prashan. Lokos me, Chaya Kripa Rido, Lokam Samar, Nyapa Rita. It takes me from Nabhati Shanti Sarade, the Vasti Tatapni Teki Yoga. I am the destroyer of all the world, and I've come here to destroy everything. But you, part of it, everyone here on both sides will be destroyed. So Krishna, he not only creates everything, but he also destroys everything. So that's one thing that modern society has become better at. Destroying things. Everyone's going to die. But they take credit because they figure out how to kill people quicker. And previously people would hit each other over the head with rocks and they died. But nowadays they hit each other over the head with an atomic bomb. They think that's advancement. But it's just another primitive consciousness, the same primitive consciousness. I'm good, you're bad, I hit you over the rock, head with the rock, you die. In South Africa, I was told that some of the natives there, they have a philosophy that if I'm alive, I'm good, and if you're dead, you're bad. Therefore, if I kill you, that's good, because I'm good because I'm alive, and and you become dead, because you become dead because you're dead. So similarly, we spend so much energy, so much money, so many so-called advancement, but it's simply the same thing over and over again. Imitating God, we simply wind up eating, sleeping, maybe depending. And so many different species of life, or so many different ways of doing it in the uniform life, and we think we're making advancement. But we cannot create life out of matter. Nor, even when we destroy the gross material body, do we actually destroy the body, the soul. The soul simply takes another body. But we become implicated, just like if someone is in a house and you break his house. He can leave the house and take him, go into another house, but the person who broke his house has done something illegal, and he'll become punished because of his illegal activity. Still, in the body that we're in, and certainly not ourselves, is simply the shelter that the soul is taking shelter of. But if we unnecessarily or prematurely destroy it, then we become responsible, and we have to take reaction for it. Therefore, the conclusion is that there is a Supreme Person, and that he's the Supreme Father of everyone. And as we read yesterday, that this fighting for God's property is not a very good idea. This idea that somehow or another, by hook or crook, we can get part of Krishna's property and claim it to be our own. And we steal from our brothers or sisters, and we think that we're doing a very nice job. Prabhupada gives the example also. Just like we have a brother, he's less intelligent. So the less intelligent son, we decide, let us chop him off and eat him. Father will not mind because he's less intelligent. So you go to the father and say, dear father, one of your sons is less intelligent. We decided to chop him up and serve him for the feast today. Is that all right? What will your father say? Well, hopefully your father will say, that's not all right. Similarly, Krishna has so many speeches and so many speeches of life. The living entities have been put according to their past activity. But ultimately, they're all the sons of God, and they all have the right to enjoy Krishna's prophets and progress towards spiritual realization, which is the purpose of creation. But if we ourselves think ourselves to be God, that there is no God, in the absence of God, then we have to make so many adjustments to make the world better. Even they have this idea now that this crazy idea, global warming, I mean, you live in Radhadesh for a long time, you'll never believe in global warming. So now they have this idea, as they're doing already, they're going to spray what they have what's called chemtrails. So part of the idea of chemtrails, I just say, I don't know if they have it here in Belgium. But in America, it's very popular. They go through the airplanes, they emit this aerosol, and they block, they just take the whole sky and they block it. So the idea is that the sun is bad, it's become bad. And we have to block the sun to save the world. It's almost like that movie. And they're actually doing that, filled with all kinds of toxic chemicals that make people sick. First people thought they were just trying to kill them, but now part of the idea is that they're trying to block the sun rays so that the CO2, if something happens to the CO2, we won't be killed by global warming. Therefore, in the absence of God, they think that there is no God. Then they become God, and now they have the responsibility to decide who lives and who dies, and how to arrange the planet. They think they themselves, everything belongs to them. They're free to do with it, whatever they want. And the result is they become more and more envious of himself and others. Envious of others, because they think, why is this person living and breathing my air? There's only so much water in the ocean. Why is he drinking most of it? Then he dies, so he doesn't commit the offense of breathing my air and eating my food and taking my sunlight. And they're enemies of themselves because they don't even know who they are. They're explaining that actually there's a law of karma, and that by your good deeds in the past, you've been put into a fortunate situation. By their misdeeds in the past, others have been put in a less fortunate situation. Therefore, if you want to become even more fortunate, you should utilize your present fortunate position and utilize it in the service of your Supreme Father. That's why he's given you a fortunate position, so you can utilize it for the benefit of yourself and others. When Krishna walked into the Mathura, and he saw many different persons. One of them was one washing man carrying many colorful clothing, very beautiful clothing. And he asked the washing man and his assistant, please give me some of the cloth for myself and the dowry books, my friend. Unfortunately, this washing man was a simple demon, servant of Kamsa, and he began to criticize Krishna. He said, my dear boy, that I'm the servant of Kamsa. These clothes belong to Kamsa. He's the king, and you're not supposed to ask for the things that belong to the king. I have personal experience that those who ask for things that belong to the king, they're chastised by the king. Fortunately, or unfortunately, depending on how you look at it, he happened to be talking to God, who happens to be the king of all kings. Therefore, Krishna took his hand and sliced the washing man's head off. So that makes it very cruel and unkind. God seems to be a little intolerant. He already had his own set of clothes, why did he have to take another clothes? Why did he get so angry? Someone refused him a set of clothes. And even if he got angry, couldn't he control his anger? I mean, most people get angry, don't slice his heads off with their hands. One thing to be noted is that Krishna had the ability to slice off the washing man's head with his hand. Therefore, Krishna was not an ordinary angry person. Even when someone gets angry at us, what is the chance with their hand they'll be able to cut off our head with one slice? With their hand? Not very likely. Unless they sharpen their hand for long. But Krishna actually died, and part of his pastime is that he's supposed to show at times that he's God. Otherwise, the Krishna walked away and said, oh, and asked. It's like he asked the coward boys to go and ask the Brahmin who are performing sacrifice for some food because they were hungry. So the coward boys went to the Brahmins and asked for some food, and the Brahmins refused. So what did the coward boys do? They didn't go up to the Brahmin and cut their heads off. Another went back to Krishna and said, we asked them some food, but they said no. They didn't even answer us. That's usually the most insulting. If you go to the airport, you try to distribute books, I used to go out regularly to the international airport. And some Oriental people, their technique was just ignore you. So it's one thing someone, you know, says no, thank you. Or even says something to you. But they act as if you don't even exist. As if you become a ghost or something. Then it's a little bit disturbing after some time, half an hour, and everyone acts as if you don't even exist. you start wondering, you know, don't I have any potency whatsoever? Some of us at least acknowledge my existence now. So the Brahmins, they just ignored the coward boy, and they went back to Krishna, and they just completely ignored us, didn't even recognize that we existed. The Krishna said, when you're going begging, that sometimes you will be refused, you can't expect that always you'll be successful. So here Krishna was begging, or at least he wasn't actually begging, he was telling the washerman, please give us some food. The washerman refused, and Krishna cut off his head. Of course, Krishna had come to Mathura, and he was invited by the king, and right away the king's servant didn't show him very much hospitality. Matter of fact, everywhere he went, while everyone was on part of the king's party, was rather negative, from the people who were guarding the bow, to the elephant keeper, to the wrestlers. Everyone seemed to have an attitude towards Krishna, and it wasn't very favorable. And Krishna reciprocated with them, and he killed the keepers of the bow. He killed the elephant and his keeper. He killed the wrestlers, and ultimately killed Kamsa, because their attitude was less than favorable. Therefore, that's Krishna's. He says, as they surrender, I reward them. So this would be the watchman being very unfavorable, and I guess rather insulting, Krishna rewarded him accordingly. Of course, it would have benefited anyone who's directly killed by Krishna. It's at least liberation, moksha. Later on, there was a tailor came and made very nice clothes. Krishna and the coward boys. There was a florist, Sudan, who came and offered Krishna very nice garlands and sandalwood cake. So Krishna awarded them with all material opulence, and in the next lifetime they would receive a form just like his. Therefore, our father is a person, and he reciprocates accordingly. If we deny his existence, then he ceases to exist for us. Although the laws of nature don't cease to exist. And therefore people get their reactions accordingly. A whole disturbance of modern civilization is not due to some lack of political endeavor, lack of material knowledge, lack of something material. It's due to lack of Krishna consciousness. Although we may think that we can also solve the problem in some other way. But people have been trying to solve problems since time immemorial, but because they haven't recognized Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrendered to his instruction, therefore the problems go on. The same problem, life after life, millennium after millennium, going to keep on going on as long as we don't recognize Krishna. Then as long as we don't recognize Krishna or Krishna's instruction, then people will act whimsically. Those who give up Krishna's instructions and act according to their own whim, the whims arising from the senses and the mind. Of course, we may say, well, what does that have to do with their whim? Well, the senses and mind are dictating to us, but we don't have to follow them. We can't follow Krishna's instructions if we so choose. We're not obliged, in the uniform life, to follow the dictation of the mind and the senses. We can follow Krishna's instruction, and therefore utilizing Krishna's service. But when we're whimsically rejecting Krishna and simply blindly following our senses and mind, then Krishna says, there won't be any perfection. There won't be any liberation. There won't be any real advancement. Nor even any happiness. There'll be an attempt to get happiness from material nature, which cannot really give us the happiness we're looking for. What to speak of the supreme objective, any kind of real ultimate goal that the living entity is looking for, eternal peace, as Krishna says, and the supreme abodes. Ameva Sharanam Gaja Sarabhavi Navarada. So Ameva Sharanam Gaja. So surrendering to him in all respects. Ameva Sharanam Gaja Sarabhavi Navarada. Tatprasadam Brahm Shandi Sanapati Shastriam. Because by his mercy he obtained eternal peace and the supreme abode. So we don't recognize Krishna, that there is a God. We don't recognize that being God, he happens to be controlling the eternal nature. He created the eternal nature and he didn't leave it and go to sleep somewhere. He's controlling every minute facet of it. We don't recognize that and we just reject his instructions. Then the result is, how can we expect any auspicious? How can we expect any perfection? Most people don't believe in perfection because they don't know that they're a soul, that there's such a thing as spiritual perfection. They think there's only material, but their conception of material perfection. But if we can accept that we're a spiritual being, then there's also spiritual perfection. And as part of that spiritual perfection, we can get eternal peace and a transcendental abode, to live in. We can get a much better place to live than this temporary, miserable world we call Yama Shastra. But if we keep on rejecting our Supreme Father, reject his advice, reject his instruction, decry him, say he doesn't exist, or that his instructions are meaningless, have no relevance to our lives, it's much better if we go to school for 25 years and find out how to make a good living, and then afterwards, if we have any brains left, then we'll inquire about God. No better to accept, to hear about Krishna, to hear that every child not only has a mother, but also a father, and a supreme father speaking Bhagavad Gita. He doesn't dislike us, he didn't create them into a world, a prison house of the soul, and then go to sleep and leave us to our whatever happens to us. Maybe we'll wake up sometime. Or, he created the material world, all living entities here are suffering, but he's become so old. He's become so senile, he can't even figure out what's going on anymore. Therefore, we're left for ourselves to figure out how to make the material world better. And we're doing a great job. So I'll stop there. Any questions?
Yeah. It sounds so easy, you know, the flesh to follow the dictation of our mind and senses. And yet, I think all of us experience how sometimes you need to be. So I was wondering, because it's a scary birth, the 16th chapter. And if you don't follow, I suppose I'm not getting up one day.
Krishna has a lightning bolt. When he aims it right at your bed,
right.
Hopefully he misses.
Yeah. So there's a very thin line that you may want to say something about.
Everyone gets
weakness.
Well, Krishna's instructions were for our benefit. But it's not a benefit. Generally speaking, we're in the material world, we more or less accept our position. We're used to it. And even if we're suffering, for us, it's not so much suffering, because that's what we're used to. And hell, people, after a while, they get used to it, kind of like. For them, of course, they're suffering, but it's not as much suffering as we can see. So we're used to our suffering, so we don't follow Krishna's instruction. For us, even though we're suffering, it doesn't seem like we're suffering very much. If we're in a mistake, only when we come to a platform of higher consciousness, we actually experience a higher taste, then we can actually understand that that higher taste is where I'm supposed to be at all the time. We're beyond that. Then we can understand if we get to some steadier platform of a higher taste, then if we drop below that platform, then we consider that suffering. But as long as we don't have a very high taste in Krishna consciousness, or they might experience the Christian consciousness. So sometimes we can form our sadhana, sometimes we don't. We don't notice that much of a difference. But when we do notice that much of a difference, then we'll be very much inclined to follow. Try not to pan your out so we can see where your consciousness is. Don't try. Take my word for it.
Yes. Nisman, what is your answer for people who say that God doesn't exist because there are so many worlds?
Yes, there are so many worlds. Krishna, that's not his world. Just like Prabhupada used to say that during World War I, so many ladies, their husbands, their fathers, their sons, they all went to fight. German ladies. And so many French ladies, their husbands, fathers, sons, they went to fight. They all went to church, German ladies, French ladies, and prayed to God to protect my son, protect my father, protect my husband. But there was, it's a war, millions of people died. So all the ladies became atheists, the guy didn't protect them. Unfortunately, no one asked Christian who wanted the war in the first place. Therefore, in the ninth chapter, Krishna explains that although I'm controlling everything, still I'm a loop. The father may give his children an equal opportunity, but one child may become a postgraduate at a university, another may be criminal in the jail. They give an equal opportunity by the father, so one utilizes the opportunity in one way, another utilizes it in a different way. While the rain falls from the sky, from the clouds, equally onto the earth, but some seeds become beautiful roses and beautiful flowers, others become weeds. But that's not all of the rain. So God creates the real world, gives everyone an opportunity. Himself comes periodically to tell us what to do and how to utilize the world properly. Those who listen to him, they make advancement. They live a happy, peaceful life and go back to Godhead eventually. And others, they create a hellish world for themselves and others. They misuse or they don't use Christian correct. Yes.
You see, in the beginning, there is something you mentioned in the it's mentioning the danger of.
Well, he is the first expansion of Krishna. And he's Krishna's expansion who is the original guru. So now he tells us he's the primary servant of Krishna. So he tells us, especially the super soul in the heart and his representatives from doubt, inside of the guru, how to serve Krishna. Without their instruction, we don't know how to serve Krishna. Don't believe his word. Therefore, he tells Arjuna, you declare it, that my body will never perish. Because he knows, he knew that during the battlefield, although he had promised he wouldn't fight, but for the sake of his devotee, Arjuna put into difficulty, he knew he would have to fight and defend him. So therefore, he called Arjuna, you declare it, because I may not be truthful, because when it comes to choice, when there's a choice between being truthful and protecting my devotee, then I'll protect my devotee rather than be truthful. But my devotee, whatever they say, I make sure it comes out to be true. So don't believe Krishna, believe Krishna's devotee. Therefore, just don't read Bhagavad Gita, also give Krishna's devotee. But as far as any Christian did come back, he did very good to come back. He never really left the doubt. one sense. And the bottom one, we go into it. As far as Lord Caitanya, telling his parents that he wouldn't marry Sannyas, so, this eventually he did it. So, you know, he's very, very involved with that. But if he didn't take Sannyas, the great Christian Hawk said, we wouldn't be here to talk about it. Thank you very much. Brandaraj, you want to talk about the chief of any charge of any doubt? You got it. 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 You